Welcome in to the I just muted myself. Welcome into the Strike Zone Podcast. I am Joe Hunk as we are getting going on this Thursday night. Remember, you can always get the Strike Zone Podcast an amazing 5-star review on the Apple Podcast Network. Subscribe, give us a click every single time that we throw up something brand new. You can look and find it there. Yorkie's already hopping in saying I look a little lost. You know, here's the reason why I look lost. Because I'm looking at the camera as we speak. If you're listening to the podcast version of this, I'm staring at a camera right now. But at the same time, I have the Dodgers and Giants going on directly beside me. I actually, when we were talking about doing this tonight, I thought about doing a post-game show. But it's Dodgers-Giants in the playoffs, and the game didn't even start until a little after 8 o'clock. That means that it probably won't end until about 11:30 or midnight. So no, not going to happen. I also know that as we speak, we got some people that are hopping in from watching Preds and Kraken, as that is going right now over at Bridgestone. Right now, Kraken are leading 3-2. We also have Tampa Bay and Philadelphia happening as we get going tonight. So there's a lot of things and a lot of directions of what's going on. Before we start and before we get going, by the time a lot of you are going to be watching and or listening to this podcast, it will be October 15th. That may not mean anything to you, but to me, that is the third birthday for my son, Ollie, who is going to be turning 3. Does everybody remember, like, the time, the exact time that you were born? My mom always calls me at 7:31 a.m. every single August 26th. She does. So that's the reason why I know. I actually think she might have gotten that from the movie City Slickers. If you ever remember watching that movie, City Slickers, and it always started with Billy Crystal's mom giving him a call at the exact moment that he was born, 7:31 was mine. I think for Billy Crystal, it was like 4:30 or 5:30 or something like that. And so, Ollie was born 11/14. 3 years ago on October 15th. He was actually originally due beginning of November. I always wanted a Halloween baby. I always thought that'd be extremely, extremely cool. But it just was not meant to be. Instead, he did come in the middle of October, which is great because he loves Halloween. And I'm going to make sure that he absolutely loves scary movies. That's just going to be my job. I've already got him watching Scooby-Doo, which is like the beginners to scary movies. But it was a very unique experience because, and anybody's watching tonight knows, labor can be very long. And it can be something that for the guy, you're sitting there going, okay, I really don't know what to do, but whatever you kind of need me to do. And what happened, oddly enough, is my wife and I, we had an appointment with our doctor on October 15th in 2018. And we go in and they put us in this room and they like hook all these like wires and stuff up, and they're monitoring my wife. My wife and I are just sitting there. I actually fell asleep with my head up against the wall as we were sitting there, because we were in the room for like an hour. And so about that time, they come back in, they get the readings, they take us into another room, and they were talking to my wife, and they were asking, okay, so what is your plan? Because my wife's a beast. And she was not only working all the way up to the birth of our son, she was also still working out, because we worked out 3 to 4 times a week in the morning at 5 a.m. I mean, we were killing it before our son was born. And so she was telling him, she's like, okay, you know, this is my plan. This is what's going to happen. And the doctor, one doctor walked in and handed our doctor the results of the test that she was in for the last hour and a half. And they go, Nope, actually, you're going to have your son today. That is what's going to happen. You're going to have him. We're taking you over to the hospital, which we were in Birmingham, and he goes, you're going to go in, and we were going to induce, or not induce, but you're going into labor right now. You've actually been in contractions for like the last day. So they get us over to the hospital, and they look at my wife, and they say, okay, your son is going to be here in, they actually did this. They looked at their watch and they went, in an hour. He's going to be here in an hour. So at 11 o'clock, you're going into the labor room, and that's going to be it. So we got into her hospital room at 10 o'clock, and by 11:14 a.m., we had a son. It was the weirdest and just wildest thing ever. But happy birthday to him. It's extremely cool. I never thought being a dad was going to be as cool as it is, but it actually really is, because now things that I enjoy, sports, video games. I mean, that's literally what I do for 104.5 is I do sports and video games. I mean, come on. And all of that, I'm kind of teaching my son about, and to see him kind of getting excited about it. He can play Spider-Man and stuff on the video games. He can't really do anything. He just literally walks around as Peter Parker on the ground because he can't even figure out how to swing yet. But still, and so those are kind of the cool things about it. But the other part is that this time of year, not only are we watching football, but he's starting to get to that age where he's learning a lot about baseball. And so we sit and we talk a lot about, you know, what is going on the TV. And he'll look at me and be like, Daddy, I want to watch baseball. So, you know, most nights, whenever the game doesn't start at 8 or 8:30, the way that Dodgers and Giants have, he'll sit and he'll watch some baseball with me whenever I get home, which is extremely cool. So he's starting to learn about, you know, what baseball teams are what. He's a huge Arizona Diamondbacks fan. It's very strange, but the only reason he is an Arizona Diamondbacks fan is because of a television show with a guy by the name of Blippi, who is very strange to anybody that does not have kids, but he does an episode about baseball, and he does it at the Arizona Diamondbacks baseball stadium. So my son watched it. I think we watched this episode like once a day. And it's about baseball. So he will sit there, and for some reason, he is an Arizona Diamondbacks fan, which are not in the playoffs, but they do have a really cool stadium. And so, you know, I tell him, hey, you know, they're not in the playoffs. There's these teams and all this. And he's just like, I don't really care whatsoever. But you care, and I care, because we're sitting on October 14th, 2021. And the Atlanta Braves are sitting at the house waiting to see what team they are going to be playing in the NLCS. It is surreal to even be in this situation. Now, you go back a week. I know we talked about this matchup favored the Atlanta Braves, and I did pick the Braves to win the NLDS series against the Brewers because the Brewers' hitting is just absolutely horrific. Their bullpen had been really bad in the month of September. And so everything kind of fit what was going on with the Braves at that time. A few things that we did not expect to happen is at the time we knew about Devin Williams. So we knew that that was going to be happening. But what we didn't expect is that you were going to eventually lose Jorge Soler for game four of the NLDS, which you may have also lost him for the NLCS, and it's not injury related at all. If you don't know, Jorge Soler is in COVID protocol, and the Braves are awaiting some negative tests when it comes to COVID-19 with him. In fact, the Braves are apparently waiting on any sort of results for him because they are preparing to not have him for the NLCS, which is a humongous loss for the Braves because of how well Jorge Soler has played for them so far this season. And yes, you've got guys that are filling in, but at the exact same time, this is going against what we have talked about in this Alexandopoulos and the idea of moneyballing Ronald Acuna. You can't find one guy to replace him, so let's find three or four guys to replace him. And Jorge Soler was a big part of replacing Ronald Acuna Jr. because he was the big bat portion of this, regardless of what Jacques Peterson and his Pearls are doing. But right now, by the way, update of what's going on in Game 5 of the NLDS. Dodgers and Giants still tied at zero. It is the bottom of the or top of the fourth, and Dodgers have two runners on. So I'll update you on that. But who do you want to see in the NLCS if you are a Braves fan? Do you want Giants or Dodgers? I'm curious because in the season series, the Dodgers swept the Braves in LA because Atlanta just cannot win in Los Angeles. And the Dodgers won the season series 4-2, but San Francisco and the Braves actually tied three games apiece. Atlanta took 2 of 3 in Atlanta. San Francisco took 2 of 3 in San Francisco. One of those was a walk-off win in game one of the series. So I'm curious as to who Braves fans kind of want to see in the NLCS. Yorkie says that he wants to see the Giants, but you know why. I'm kind of running on E tonight, so you may need to help me as to why you want to see him in the NLC, see the Giants in the NLCS. Personally, I'm leaning Dodgers, or not Dodgers, but Giants. Emotionally, I would love to see the Dodgers just because I'm all about getting revenge and all about the storybook endings when it comes to certain teams. And the Braves are going into a situation where the Dodgers beat them last year in the NLCS. And the Braves, you know, this is your opportunity that if you're going to get to the World Series, then you want to go through the Dodgers. The Giants are arguably the best team in baseball as far as team as a whole. What is so strange, if you just go through the lineup of the San Francisco Giants, like when you look at the Dodgers lineup and you just go through 1 through 8, not even counting the pitcher, but you go through this lineup, Trey Turner, Mookie Betts, Justin Turner, Chris Taylor, Cody Bellinger, Will Smith, the good Will Smith, not the Braves Will Smith. Like you just start going through it, and like every single player that you know and you've heard of before, and you're like, oh yeah, I know that guy. Like, oh yeah, I remember that guy. Have you tried doing that with the San Francisco Giants? Because half of the players for the Giants, you have never, ever heard of. Yes, you've heard of Buster Posey. You've heard of Brandon Crawford. Brandon Crawford is... he is an MVP candidate because of how well he's been doing this season. A lot of people are going to know Evan Longoria, especially if you are a Rays fan, 162. And you may, especially in the city of Nashville, you're going to know who Mike Yastrzemski is because he played for Vandy. But Alex Dickerson, Steven Duggar. Steven Duggar is one, like, you're just going, who are the Donovan Solano? Like, who are these guys? You know, Wilmer Flores. You know, Wilmer Flores, the one thing that I think Wilmer Flores is most known for, if I'm correct on this, I'm double-checking as I'm speaking. Wilmer Flores, the only thing that he is most notable for is being the guy that started crying at shortstop because he had thought that the Mets had traded him. You remember, like, he was that guy that was crying on the field when the Mets apparently tried to trade him, and I can't remember how the story goes, but like that's the only thing that he's known for. And Crawford, Bo, you know, that's the thing, is they only have like two or three players that you really know. Yet, counting the playoffs, they've won 109 games this season. Now, pitching wise, there's a few more, especially Braves fans are going to know who Kevin Gausman is, but you know, Logan Webb, who is pitching for the Giants tonight, he has been the Giants' best pitcher so far this season. And that is why when you look at his stats, Kevin Gausman had the lower ERA, but Logan Webb has been the guy that you're like, yeah, he's the one. 3.03 ERA, had 11 wins, 3 losses this season. He pitched very well for the San Francisco Giants. And I feel like, even though they're playing in this NLDS game, which NLDS games against your division opponents are a little different because you've played them so much that you're used to seeing them. So the odds are kind of a little bit more tampered than what they are for a team that you only saw 5 or 6 times in one season. But it's something that I feel like I would much rather the Braves play the Giants just to make it to the World Series. Now, the Braves have played the Giants, I want to say, twice in the last 20 years to try to make it into the NLCS. The Braves lost to the Giants in 2002 when the Giants went to the World Series. The Braves lost to the Giants in 2010, which we all know that 2010 was the first season of their 3-year stretch of winning, 2010, 2012, 2014. Brad asked, what's up, Honk? Who do you want to win? The Giants. I really do think that I want the Giants to win this game. Now, also, look, I ain't even going to lie. I do endorsements for FanDuel. I 100% have bets in on the Giants games tonight. Just going to be straight up with you. Now, Samuel says, I want the Braves against the Giants just because Logan Webb won't be game one starter. I think their offense is a bit weaker too. No, I agree about the offensive side. And that's where it goes back to, well, wait a second. If they're weaker, then why on earth do you think the Giants are going to win? Well, look through and how the playoffs kind of work a lot of times when you're playing division opponents. Look at what happened. Look in the American League. Dodgers and Yankees, they face each other 19 times this season. The Red Sox, they beat them in the wild card round. You spin it around. Right after that, Red Sox and Rays have played each other that many times as well. Red Sox win that. It's different when you've played this team so much because there's nothing to hide. It's like, okay, you're playing a 5-game series, but you've already played them in multiple 3-game series. You've already played them in heck, even a few 4-game series. So the familiarity is there. It's amped up a little bit. But the whole winning and losing thing just isn't as big of a deal because you're playing a division opponent. Same thing has gone on with the NL. The Giants and the Dodgers, literally going into tonight, counting the playoffs, have the exact same record. Both teams have won 109 games. The Giants, on the other hand, have beat the Dodgers more. And if you don't know that stat, there was one about over the course of the last 53 games, the second half of the season, the Dodgers won, I believe, 40 games and lost 12. The Giants won 40 games and lost 13. That's the reason why the Dodgers lost the NL West division crown, because they only gained one game on the Giants through this humongous run and this amazing run that the Dodgers have been on. And that's another reason why, if going into the NL wild card, if the Cardinals would have been the ones that would have gotten to play the Brewers in the first round, then the Cardinals would have played and beat the Brewers. The Brewers were the perfect team because no matter who they were playing, as much as people want to say the Braves are the weakest team going into the NL playoffs and even made the entire playoffs as a whole, the Brewers were the one that had the worst losing streak and was playing the worst baseball over the course of the last 2 weeks going into the playoffs. So that's a reason why I thought the Braves were going to win, because the Brewers had gotten swept by the Cardinals. They got swept by the Dodgers. They had not played well except against the Mets, which everybody was playing good against the Mets at the end of the season. So that was why there's the team. That's not the case. The Brewers were a horrible team when it came to offense. We all saw that over the course of the 4 games. But at the same time, now the Braves are sitting at home in the NLCS. They're going to be able to at least set up their pitching rotation where the Giants are not going to be able to do this. Look, this is the good thing about it. Outside of Max Scherzer, the Dodgers and the Giants are going to go into the NLCS on Saturday out their number one. Okay, now it's more of a big deal for the Giants than what I think it would be for the Dodgers, because the Dodgers still have Max Scherzer. Now, the other key to this, and what people, and also one thing, when you're going back to looking at the season series between the Braves and the Giants and the Braves and the Dodgers, the two wins that the Braves got against the Dodgers, you may just basically want to avoid those out. Starting pitchers for those games, Clayton Kershaw, Trevor Bauer. Both are no longer with the team. Kershaw is out for the remainder of the season. Trevor Bauer, if you don't know about Trevor Bauer, just Google search Trevor Bauer. That's all I got to say about that. So with the Braves, they've had more success against the Giants than what they have the Dodgers. The other part about this, that if you're trying to weigh, do you want the Giants or do you want the Dodgers? The Braves series with the Giants or with the Dodgers, one of those series was before the trade deadline. The other series was after the trade deadline. Now, they also got swept after the trade deadline on that West Coast trip to LA, which really, really sucked, because it was that West Coast trip where they were playing the Padres and the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers, and it was all in September. Nobody really understood, and the Giants, as a matter of fact. But with the Giants series, both of those series against the Giants were after the trade deadline as well. So you got a better understanding of this current Braves team playing the current Giants team. At the beginning of the season, when the Braves actually did beat the Dodgers, it was when the Braves were still under 500. Matter of fact, I want to say it was only about a month and a half into the season, because I think at the time the Braves were like 26-29 going into that series. So weighing all these things evenly, I think that the Braves, especially going back to Truist Park, is going to have an opportunity. Now, if you're looking for home field advantage, you're going to want the Dodgers to win this game, which at the moment, still tied at nothing. It's the bottom of the fourth. Giants have a runner on second base. I'll keep you updated as we continue to go throughout the show. If the Dodgers win, Braves are hosting game one and game two back in Atlanta on Saturday and Sunday. Then they're going to have Monday off. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday would be in LA. Take Friday off. Saturday and next Sunday would be back in Atlanta for game six and game seven. Exact same schedule, except it would be flipped if the Giants win. Braves will hop on a plane. They will go to San Francisco. Game one and game two will be Saturday and Sunday. Then you're going to go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is going to be when it's going to be in Atlanta at Truist. Then back to San Francisco for game six and game seven on Saturday and Sunday of next week, if that is what we get to. So the home field advantage, depending on what it is, the Braves have one in Oracle Park where they did not win at Dodger Stadium this year. The Braves have went up against Logan Webb, and honestly, the game that Logan Webb pitched against the Braves was honestly a game the Braves actually had the lead in until the walk-off for the Giants, and it was game one of their series. So you're kind of weighing that. I'm weighing more on the Giants. I want to see those. Brad, bro, the Mohawk is immaculate. Go Braves. True story, I just got this thing cut today. Just went and got it cut right before the show started on 3HL. And this is the first haircut that I've had in a month and a half. That's the reason why, if you've been watching 3HL and you've been watching our streams, it's because of that's the reason why I've been wearing hats like every single day, because my hair been growing. But at the same time, the way that the reason I did that is because my son's birthday party is on Saturday, and so, you know, family pictures and all that. Thomas, do you do bullet points and then wing the rest of this like you do the updates during 3HL? If so, that is amazing. Really like the young talent that has come into 104.5 this past year. Thomas, yes, everything that I do is all bullet points, and it even goes into what happens now on Wednesday nights for our Gamer Zone that we have. If you haven't checked that out, 104.5 The Zone, Gamer Zone, that we have every single Wednesday night. I do a simulation. I kind of been calling it a preview, and it's a simulation. I mean, that's really kind of what it is. It's a simulation. And so, what I will do again, if you know, Thomas brought it up, so I'll hit on it. I prep for my Wednesday night games just like I would if I was doing a regular play-by-play broadcast and for studying teams. True story is I will start on Sunday night, kind of getting an overview, seeing how the teams have been doing, getting, you know, your leaders, your rushing leaders, your passing leaders, your interceptions, all that sort of stuff that you will. And Monday is normally when the Titans like to send out their game notes for that weekend. And then I start going through those, kind of seeing some trends for what's going on. Tuesday night is actually when I work with Coach Mack and with Rhett Bryan of Titans Radio. And what you guys don't see, because we don't have the video cameras on for the Coach Mack show, is at our Mack Talk. It's the fact that when we go to break, I go into the studio and Coach Mack and I are talking ball the entire time. I'm quizzing him on everything. And the great thing about Coach Mack is no question is too dumb. This week, him and I talked about the difference between RPOs and play actions and how whenever you're watching film, you're looking at the difference between being able to spot an RPO against spotting a play action. And again, I know this is the baseball podcast, but on Monday night when you're watching the Bills and the Titans, if you see Josh Allen snap the ball and actually turn his back to the defense, that's a play action. If Josh Allen takes the ball and fakes the handoff to the running back but is still facing forward, then it's an RPO. Whenever you're seeing those types of plays, like that's some of the stuff that Coach Mack has been teaching me. And so that's how I kind of learn on Tuesday nights. And then on Wednesdays, I kind of finalize everything, all of my notes and all that sort of stuff, so that whenever we're doing the Gamer Zone, I have some stuff to talk to you about. Just, you know, hey, this guy right here, Trey White, he's an amazing cornerback / secondary player. You know, Micah Hyde actually leads the team in interceptions, that sort of stuff. Just to have it. I'm a bullet points guy, and the whole truth about it is, and every person that knows me knows this, I'm a bullet points guy because I get bored doing the exact same thing over and over and over again. So even with the updates, I never want them to be the same for you. Like, I want them to always be, you know, if I've got some audio from Coach Vrabel or something that's been going on with Coach Heupel or something like that, I'll have that available, but I'll use it however I want, you know, based on what's going on. And honestly, I like the fact that it sounds so different. I do like that. I never actually noticed that until some people have commented on it. I know that Brent talked about it yesterday, about people that have talked to me about, you know, asking me about, you know, do I script things out and all that? No, I just do straight up bullet points. Hey, puck drop for the Preds tonight at 7:00. You can watch it on Bally Sports South, NHL Network. All right, look, Kraken, they've lost, you know, they're 0-1. They are at the moment leading the Preds. And boom, this is where it goes, and we can just kind of roll with that. Same thing goes for this. I kind of wrote down some numbers, some stats. I've looked some stuff up. And honestly, I do a lot of short-term memory stuff. And that's where it is. Now with baseball just clicks better with me. And I have the ability to recognize things a little bit different than what I do with football. Football's not natural for me a lot of times. And so that's the reason why talking with Coach Mack and with Rhett and with Mike, Keith, and even Amy. Like, look, when I got to 104.5, I said, I'm going to each one of those people, I'm going to be asking them hundreds of questions. You cannot have those people and not utilize them to learn the sport better. And the same thing goes for baseball. And that's the reason why whenever we're doing the football and the Gamer Zone stuff, and I'll show you the plays, I'll show you kind of what I'm seeing, I'll kind of break down the defense, mainly because I want you to be able, whenever you're watching on a Saturday or a Sunday, what you're watching in the Gamer Zone is helping you go, wait a second, I see two high safeties. Okay, they're trying to take away the deep ball pass. Okay, look, they've got six or seven guys in the box. Then it's going to be a little bit easier for Derrick Henry to run than what it normally is going to be. With baseball, it's the same way with a lot of trends. And I that's the reason why when we were talking about the Brewers series, I started saying, look, this Braves team has hit everybody on that Brewers pitching staff extremely well, including Josh Hader. And so they've had high slugging percentages against them. They're seeing the ball out of their hands well. And sometimes you just have a team's number. And there are certain stadiums that you can go to that you may light the batter's eye just a little bit more. There's some stadiums that you may go to where the batter's eye may not, you know, the depth perception and seeing the baseball is just a little bit different. It takes you two or three games to get used to seeing the ball coming out of the pitcher's hands. And that's kind of some of the stuff that plays a factor into this. That's, again, the reason why when we're talking about your division series, the reason why a Red Sox and Yankees and a Red Sox and Rays and a Dodgers and Giants, you're seeing teams being able to perform home and away a lot better than what you are when it was the Braves and the Brewers, or what it was when it was Houston and Chicago, because they hadn't been at those ballparks as much as these division opponents have been. That's why the Braves struggled in Milwaukee through the first game, even though in the first inning, we know the Braves should have scored and it may have been a different game. But that's the reason why you saw the struggle. When you go and you look at the way that Houston and Chicago played, first game in Houston, Chicago struggled. It's a little bit different when you're going there, especially if you haven't also seen that ballpark for, you know, it's been 3 and 4 months since you've been in that ballpark. It takes you a little bit of time to kind of get acquainted with everything and where everything is. It's a comfort factor. Dodgers and Giants, they played each other 19 times this season. They've spent a good bit of time in San Francisco and Los Angeles. The Dodgers players know where the restaurants are that they like to go eat at. The Giants know exactly where they like to go eat at whenever they're staying in Los Angeles, where it's good to go, with how to get to the stadiums, all that stuff. It all plays a factor into it. Thomas says the style stands out for sure. Side note, my son's birthday is Monday, so those are close. Loving all the shows. Keep it up. Hey, man, happy birthday to your son. And look, I know that right now we're doing a lot of sports talk. We're talking baseball, football, and video games and all that. But seriously, man, you do not realize how quickly your sons and your kids are growing up. My wife takes a picture of my son sleeping every single year, the night before his birthday. And she just put the pictures side by side on our social media feed. And just to see how much my son has grown over the course of the last 3 years is absolutely tremendous. And, you know, you can't see it behind me right now, but I have a baseball bat. You may be able to see that blue thing right there is a handle of a wooden baseball bat that I have had since I was probably in seventh grade. And it's a composite baseball bat, which means it's a wooden bat. But the inside is different so that, you know, you can take batting practice with it for a lot longer. I actually got it from the Huntsville Stars when they were still in Huntsville. Now it's Rocket City Trash Pandas. But he will come in any night that I have the door open that he can come in here in my office, and he will pick that up and he will play with it because it's a baseball bat. And so he does that all the time. Man, it is amazing to see how much your kids are going to grow up and all that. And honestly, my son can play baseball starting next spring, and I am ecstatic about it. I'm having to kind of talk myself through what kind of parent I'm going to want to be. My wife obviously will want me to coach him. I want to be supportive because I was always taught differently and thought differently whenever I was playing, where it was all about turning and winning at every single level. You want to win, you want to win, you want to win, you want to win. And now what I want to teach my son is, yes, you do want to win. That's extremely important. But at the exact same time, it's all about getting better and better and better and better. And the one thing that I never thought about as I was playing is I do want him to know about the value of practice. And I think that that's where coaches a lot of times can struggle when it comes to practice is, hey, we're doing this drill. It's for you to get better. Do it. Okay, well, I'm a person that likes a little bit more depth to everything. As you can tell, whenever I'm talking, I just want a little bit more depth. You know, and basically what it is, hey, I want you to be able to turn this double play in your sleep. But at the same time, once you get comfortable doing it the standard way, I want you to try things to see what you're good at and what you're not. If you're better at taking a ground ball backhanded and flipping it the way that you are to second base, if you're playing the shortstop position, crouch down, then if you know that, you've learned it in practice. I want you to be able to fail. I want you to screw up so that when time comes and that ball comes to you, you know what you can and can't do. And I think that in games, and I think a lot of times for a lot of kids, the game time was the time that they tried stuff instead of during practice. And I think that that was where the mentality of the way that practice was used. And I think that's also the reason why kids don't have as much fun in practice, because I think that they don't think that they can screw up. I want you screwing up all the time because I want you being able to figure out what your limits are as a player, and so that what you know that you can and can't do. You know, learn the proper way to throw, learn the proper way to swing, but at the same time, figure out the best ways for you when it comes to covering the bag, when it comes to knowing how far you can get in the hole when you're trying to make a throw to second, to third, to first, or to home. Knowing how far that if a ball is hit in a shallow field and you're playing the infield, okay, how can I get it to this base and how quickly and all this, knowing the situations. I don't think a lot of that stuff gets coached as much in some levels that they kind of need to. And I think kids need to understand how important practice is, because practice should be extremely fun because you get to screw up and do basically whatever you want, but you want to be able to be progressive. Again, that's just me. Samuel asks, you going to main coach or assistant coach? Dude, I don't know. I really, really don't, because I'm not great at taking directions a lot of times because I like to figure things out on my own. But at the same time, I also want to be able to be a positive influence. And to me, a lot of times in coaching, a lot of times, you know, your main coach, it's very much military-like. If you're former military or anything, I spent a lot of times around Marines, haircut. And the hierarchy of coaches is a little bit different, because in a lot of organizations and a lot of teams, when you do have a hitting coach, fielding coach, running coach, main coach, your main coach is kind of like your grandfather. You know, he's kind of like the guy that you come to for advice. Hey, I'm struggling with this. What do I do? Coach is being hard on me. And he's like, hey, look, this is what the coach is doing. This is what he's trying to give you a little bit more clarity. And your assistant coach, majority of the times, are the a-holes. Like, those just are. And so that's kind of the hierarchy of it. Well, at the same time, I've never been a head coach for any sort of little league team. So I don't really know if I'd want to go that route or if I want to start as an assistant coach and turn in the main coach. I really don't know what it is. Brad says, he goes, man, this is weird. I turned 50 today, half 100, but just another day. Bro, happy birthday, man. Seriously, I apologize for not seeing that just a little while ago. No, happy birthday. That is awesome. No, and I understand the feeling that birthdays now are just kind of another day. And it's bad because I forget how old I am because I don't think about it anymore. You know, once you kind of get over 30 for me, I was just like, all right, I'm 30 years old. Apparently between 30 and 40 is when you're supposed to be making moves in your life and setting yourself up, and all the stuff you've worked for in your 20s is now going to start paying off in your 30s. Well, for me, and we've talked a little bit about 104.5 and all the things that we're doing there, stuff that I've been doing in my 30s and in my 20s, I'm really starting to see payoff now in my late 30s and how that's going. And Thomas says he really loves the amazing, all the young talent that's coming through 104.5. Look, you guys do not realize how much talent is at 104.5. And there was a point in my life when and this did happen a lot of times in sports. Did you ever realize and ever know, like, you were the best player on the team? Like, you remember those? And some players like that. Hey, I want to be the best player on the team. I enjoy being the top guy and all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, there was never that goal of trying to be better, because you're already the best on your team. And it's very hard for a person to visualize somebody somewhere else that you want to be better than. And you want to strive to learn from and all that sort of stuff. And I've been very blessed at some of the radio stations that I've worked for. I have been at some places where I was the best personality and I hated that. I've been some places where I was nowhere close to the best personality. And that's also kind of one of these things that it's some radio stations, you're not going to name names or anything like that. There wasn't really kind of a, hey, I want to teach you. I want to show you kind of what to do. I want to help you out. And there was just kind of like, not the, so much of the Heisman, but just kind of the, yeah, man, this is my spot. And I'm not going to do something that could help you take my spot. There were some places like that. There have been people at every radio station I've ever been that have been amazing and taught me a ton of stuff. And I mean, absolutely a ton. Every radio station I've learned stuff from. But at 104.5, I'm telling you, top to bottom, in every single aspect of this radio station, you have amazing talent. And I just mean, not only amazing talent as far as on the air, but off the air. The stuff that, you know, I'm broadcasting right now on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and all those places. But there are so many of us that are putting content out for you, whether it's Titan stuff and updates about who's practicing, who isn't practicing, from, you know, every single person that is on the air in the mornings. All the shows that are on the station are all so different that it's never like, okay, I've heard the same thing multiple times. Everything is different. J. Martin Ramon are different from what Buck Rising is. Buck Rising is different from Blaine and Mickey, and Blaine and Mickey is different from 3HL. And that's the good thing about all the shows. The other thing is, and you guys don't realize this, every bit of this stuff, from my nameplate to the stuff that's over here with the logos and all this other stuff, our digital team, between what Will Bowling is doing and BB and those guys that are behind the scenes just doing amazing things for 104.5, there is so much stuff. And I'm telling you, there is so many cool things that we have planned for coming up. I'm very blessed that everybody lets me just sit here and, I mean, guys, I'm BSing with you. Like, look, this is a baseball podcast. Yes, we've talked some baseball. But at the same time, like, you know, a lot of the stuff we've talked about today is not really, you know, all about the playoffs and all this other stuff. By the way, still tied at nothing in the fifth. And so, you know, a lot of this stuff that we're doing, I'm extremely blessed. And the great thing about this is every single person at that radio station has things that they are amazing at. And instead of putting us in situations to do stuff we're not good at, Paul Mason, which is our PD, has put us in situations for us to excel at. Again, I'm doing a baseball podcast. Why? Because I love baseball and I know a ton about it. And I can sit and I can break down a baseball game and what's going on better than a lot of people that I know. Am I better than anybody, than everybody? No, absolutely not. But I can break this game down. I can look at numbers and also look at play, and I can see trends and how things are going to go, which is the reason why I want the Giants to be playing the Braves in the NLCS instead of the Dodgers. Both teams are amazing, but the Braves have done much better against the Giants. And I also think there's a stigma when it comes to the Dodgers that the Braves have yet to get behind, and I don't want to face the Dodgers without my best. I don't want to face the Dodgers without Acuna. I don't want to face the Dodgers without Jorge Soler. I do not want to face the Dodgers without Mike Soroka. And I think that that's the other part about that I'm really seeing that I'm like, all right, I want the Giants. Thomas says, either way, do it. I love coaching and working with kids. Other than parenting, it's amazing to see them reach their goals and learn. And I think that here's what people don't realize, okay? Being a coach is very similar to being a parent. Being a boss is very similar to being a parent, because at the end, you're still having to teach, whether you're teaching your employees to learn new things, whether you're teaching your team to be better and to learn new skills so that they can win a game, or if you're wanting to see your kid grow. Like, you know, the coolest things that I've seen when I was a boss, because I was a program director in Montgomery, was seeing people that came in to work with me and for me, seeing them grow as people and their personalities start to come out and things that they're really starting to become better at. Like, I really enjoyed that. As a coach, I think I would be the exact same way, of seeing players go from that first practice not being able to do something to seeing them be able to go. As a parent, my son has learned so much in just a year. Like, there's songs that him and I now sing that he's learned. There's he knows numbers and all. My son can count to 20 in Spanish. Dude, I couldn't do that until I was 16. And I still sucked at it, but he can do it. Like, it's amazing to see, but it's because his mom has worked with him and because I have worked with him and his teachers and all this other stuff. Like, it's cool to see him grow. And I think that's the part of the coaching that I would enjoy. Brad says, let's just love one another and live our lives. Go Braves. Hey, look, man, I agree. I think that's the other thing. Like, there are thoughts and views that I do not agree with, but I'm also not going to condemn you for thinking that way. I'm not going to sit here and think that I'm a better person than you because I think differently. And I think that we can have discussions about that and not get heated and be respectful with one another and love one another and want the best for one another. I truly believe that. He also says, go Giants. Hate to say it. No, I want the Giants as well. I would much rather Giants and Braves. Braves have lost to the Dodgers 3 times in the last 20 years. The Braves actually beat them in the NLDS in the 90s. I want to say may have been 96, as a matter of fact, that the Braves beat the Dodgers, because in 95, the Braves beat the Rockies in the NLDS. Or no, that was 95. So I think it was 96, the Braves beat the Dodgers in the NLCS to go face the Cardinals in the NLCS. But with the Giants, this is where it's so crazy. And this is where it's so weird if you are a Braves fan. And Brad, you said you're 50. Think about it. It's been 20 years since the Braves have hosted an NLCS game. 20 years. It was the Arizona Diamondbacks, 2001. I was a senior in high school when that took place. I was a senior. I was in thinking about how much has changed, because the Braves have been in the playoffs so many times. But after 2001, they did not make it past the NLDS. And so to see that and how that has been going, and to make it to the NLDS numerous times and to lose to the Cubs and to lose to the Giants and lose to the Astros. And I mean, like, I can go through the list of all the teams that they've lost to and the Cardinals and all of that stuff. Like, 20 years has passed since they've hosted an NLCS game. People want to say, well, last year they were in the NLCS. Well, last year they were in the NLCS, but that was played in Arlington. So Truist Field or Truist Park didn't get to actually host the game. So that's why this year it's extremely cool that they're going to be hosting the NLCS. And it most likely will be game 3. It most likely will be game 3, 4, and 5. Jameson says, okay, how amazing was it that Freddie Freeman hit the go-ahead home run in the bottom of the 8th inning? Okay, true story. I know that on 3HL, we talk about how far I drive every single day. And if you have ever been to Fayetteville, Tennessee, If you're driving down if you're driving down 65, exit 14 is Highway 64. Exit 14 to Highway 64, it is a dead zone. I'm not talking Stephen King dead zone. I'm talking about a dead zone for cellular service. You can probably be on Highway 64 for 2 or 3 miles and then boom, no cell phone. And I don't mean no cell phone service as in, oh, I'm down to one bar, I'm down to two bars. I'm talking about dots, searching for service, like that sort of stuff. So the other night, game four, I'd been watching the game during all of 3HL once it started, and I'm watching it, and the Braves were losing. That's when they went down 2-0. I'm superstitious. I'm a baseball player. I'm extremely superstitious. I could spend an entire show telling you how superstitious I am. So I then had to put the game on my cell phone because of when I started having to walk out of the studio and back and forth, so I wanted to have the game on. Well, in doing so, the Braves started coming back. So I continued to watch it on my cell phone. So then when I left, if you're a police officer listening to this right now, this did not happen. This is an exaggeration. This is a story only for entertainment purposes here on the Strike Zone podcast. So what happened is we're driving down and I had the phone, you know, at least on, had the audio going through the Bluetooth, through my car. And I was keeping up with everything. I was about to hit 64. I pulled over on the side of the interstate, turned my flashers on, and I watched the 8th and 9th inning on the side of Interstate 65, because I did not want to hit the dead zone and not know what happened in the Braves game. So Freddie Freeman hits that home run as I'm sitting on the interstate, cars just blowing by me and going there. It was amazing to see. And for any Braves fan that doesn't know this, or again, going back to how long it's been for a lot of things, it's been 20 years since the Braves have played in the NLCS at home. The other thing it's been over 26 years since the Braves have had a player hit a series deciding home run. Yes, David Justice was the last time a Braves player hit a decisive home run that determined a series in the 95 World Series. And I also will never forget Bob Costas saying he talked the talk and then walked the walk. One of my favorite lines ever from a baseball game. Denny for you says, dang, Seattle beat the Preds. I like the Braves, but I see the Dodgers getting it. That's why you want the Giants, man. That you do not want the Dodgers. Dodgers are a great team. Even without Kershaw and Trevor Bauer on this team, it's the reason why they traded for Max Scherzer. Trey Turner is absolutely tremendous. Traded for him from the Nationals. Dodgers are amazing. You want the Giants to be able to take them out. He says, then also says, I was born in Fayetteville. See, this, so you know about Highway 64. It's a dead zone, man. It's beautiful, but it's a dead zone. It's my favorite part of my drive into Nashville every single day is to drive on Highway 64 because of the hills. They're not really mountains. Because of the hills, the cows, the horses, everything that's around the interstate. I've passed goats on the highway that are grazing in the median as I'm driving. Like, it's amazing. Okay, so I guess we're going to pick up some old scabs for us Braves fans. And no, look, I don't think the Braves are going to. And I think the Braves are going to be very smart when it comes to the free agency. And I think that they're going to be looking at pitching. That's the only thing that I'm going to say. It's a dead zone for sure. Thomas, and I'm going to wrap up after this, because right now the Dodgers actually just scored the first run in the game, taking a 1-0 lead. Pretty sure I had a prop bet that Logan Webb would not give up any runs in the game, so I think I just lost that. I don't know baseball well. Why do the Braves get the NLCS at home if the Dodgers and Giants both have better records? Well, it goes back to being a division winner. And that's the reason why they put so much stock in the division winner. And so the Dodgers are the wild card winner, even though, yes, they had a much better record than the Braves, and honestly, they're a better team than the Braves. But because the Braves won the NL East and the Dodgers were the wild card team, the Dodgers are going to be the team that's going to be traveling. And so that's the reason for that. Again, Dodgers are up 1-0 right now, but it's still the sixth inning. And so we're going to see what happened. Jameson says, yes, old David Justice's home run to help us win the 95 World Series. I think that right now I could still recite Bob Costas's call of that home run because I've listened to it so much. That was 26 years ago. 29 years ago today was the day that Sid slid. Just a fun fact for you as we're wrapping up and as we're getting ready for the NLCS. Today was 29 years since Sid Bream rounded third base and was going all of 1 mile per hour. I'd love to see 92 Sid Bream and 2021 Tom Brady getting a 40 race. I'd really love to see who would win that. It would be so slow, but I would absolutely love to see who was going to win that. All right, wrapping up. Going to go finish up this Dodgers and Giants game. If you're a Braves fan and you want the easier path, you're going to go Giants. If you're a Braves fan and you want revenge for last year, then you want Dodgers. Jose Urias is not going to be the game one starter, but I would suspect if the Dodgers do win this, you're going to get Max Scherzer versus Max Fried. That's just my thought on that. We will talk to you tomorrow, 3HL. Look, tomorrow's going to be a stacked show on 3HL. Mark Mariani is going to have his blood in the water pick. You're also going to be getting a ton of Slay hype about Tennessee and Ole Miss. I appreciate everybody hopping on to watch tonight. Thank you for joining me. Let's go watch this game. Follow me on Twitter at Joe Honk. We can tweet about this as well. Have an amazing night. Also, thank you, and I have to say this, so far, over 3,000 people have watched our Gamer Zone game from last night from where the Titans beat the Bills. By the way, just saying, for everybody that told me to stop playing on Madden, that was for you last night. 3,000 of you have watched it. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. We'll be back next Wednesday for the Titans and the Chiefs. I will talk to you tomorrow on 3HL, start at 3 o'clock. Have a great one.